Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kclend.com. We're 30 minutes away from day three of the 610 Combine. On to the bench press today. We'll get our results. We'll have everybody in studio, see if Carrington Harrison stays in first place. He was talking like he's not expecting much out of his bench press performance. I'm not expecting much out of mine, but I feel it better than a year ago. That's all I was. That was my only goal on the bench press. Improve from a year ago. And I don't care what else happens today.
And as much as I was accused of Vertgate, in which I thought I was just simply following the rules.
Oh, yeah.
We have a clear fault.
Yes.
A clear fault in Carrington Harrison's broad jump.
Oh, multiple people backed it up. This is not just you and me. We had a listener text in the photo. We've had former NFL player Sean Barber mention that, no, it was clearly a fault. Someone that would know, if you don't value our opinion on how the combine goes, that's Sean Barber. He would know. He said CDOT had a fault on it. So we need to know what that other jump is.
I was specifically instructed to stay behind the duct tape. We're talking about a different, like, he only won that event by 2 inches. Are we sure that he didn't get, like, how thick is a regular piece of duct tape, Ryan? 2 inches?
Inch and a half, maybe?
Yeah, inch and a half, 2 inches. I mean, and he's over the line.
It all matters.
He's over the entire duct tape. We're talking about the difference of winning or losing. What was his other jump?
We need to find out. Very important at this point in time to find out. But he is in first place right now, although now there's some dispute on the validity of the broad jump. But we'll see. Bench press today. Everybody will be in studio. We'll get to that in just a little bit. We're 36 days away, though, from opening day. And spring training is fully underway. We're on day three of all that. But as we get closer and closer to it, there's already predictions out there and projections from MLB.com on what the opening day roster will be like, and you couple it with their predictions. It might have been one of the easier ones they did across all of baseball, the Royals, and you base it off of also what Dade Moore even had to say yesterday. It sure sounds like this team has most of the roster and the opening day roster, the lineup, fairly solidified. Just listen to what Dayton had to say yesterday about the camp battles and really if there are any.
There's competition in some ways in this camp, but as far as the starting lineup, it's pretty much set. The rotation, it's pretty much set. I mean, there's 7 or 8 guys that, are competing maybe for one of the final spots in the rotation. The core group of the bullpen is set. That's a good feeling to have when you enter camp that, your team is pretty locked in at certain positions. That's a good sign for me.
And it is another sign that this organization and this team is headed towards that next step where no longer is it just flat out on the rebuild mode. Yes, there's still some developmental process in there. But when you go out and you make some acquisitions, you find out who your new first baseman is. We're not talking like last year, like, oh, is it going to be O'Hearn who's first base? Is it going to be a platoon at first? None of that's in question. You know who your first baseman is. It's Carlos Santana. You know who your left fielder for sure is. Last year you knew it was Alex Gordon, but still there was some question before 2 weeks ago. Who would your left fielder be or what kind of combination would be in center field? You have some certainty there now with Benintendi. So I feel like that's a good sign overall that there aren't many areas where we say, oh, who's going to win that battle out of camp? That might not be as exciting when you don't have I guess, the discussion on who's going to be a certain position player, but that means the organization is solidifying itself and is on the verge of taking that next step. So I think it is a good sign. I know people may still want there to be competition. We always like competition. We talk about it in all the sports, and who can maybe surprise you in spring training, who can surprise you in training camp up in St. Joe for the Chiefs or whatever. But when you have spots locked up, that means your organization is built and heading to the right direction.
Multiple positions, there doesn't need to be competition. Carlos Santana's earned a spot at a major league roster. You know Salvador Perez. You know Hunter Dozier, I even think, to a point. You've got way too much invested in Adalberto Mondesi to change there. Witt, Benintendi, Soler. Like, those guys are no. The people I would want competition at are second base with Nicky Lopez. Or outfield with Nicky Lopez, you know, depending on how you look at it. Like, Witt goes to second, and then his spot would be up for grabs with some of the several major leaguers or outfielders that would be available to them in center field, right? Because, you know, I've talked about Michael A. Taylor's ability to hit over the opening part of his season and the struggles he's had in that department. But here's the thing. They're not competing for those jobs. Those jobs are theirs. Michael A. Taylor's job is his. That's his job. Nicky Lopez's job is his. I know that there's only a small chance, right, that anything would happen there, barring some injury, that they would even do them. And they're going to let those guys play it out before then. So, yeah, we know. Now you can just start guessing your 1-9 if you want. We are 2 days into full squad, and I can tell you who the starting nine on the field are going to be most days when the Royals are healthy. The starting rotation, the only real questions there are, who are the guys who get the sixth and seventh start first? Not who's going to start with the roster, because that is Keller, Duffy, Minor, Brady Singer, and in my opinion, Chris Bubich. If they did something wild and let Irvin Santana, who I think would be more likely to be a
bullpen guy,
probably at this stage in his life. Other than that, it's what? Asa Lacy, Daniel Lynch? Like, those are just not going to happen. We do know who the Royals roster is. I think it's good and bad, because I think that it's saying that they don't have enough guys in AAA to actually push these people. That's part of the issue. They're not going to let the pitchers push.
Where would there be?
I think they have that, but they need more people. They need a center fielder.
I was going to say, there's really
who could challenge Taylor. They need a second baseman, like Bobby Witt's a little too early. They're just a year away from some of those spots being challenged.
There's only two areas, though, where you feel like anybody would need to be challenged. You just mentioned them. It's center field, Michael A. Taylor. They went out and acquired him. They obviously feel like, at least for this year, he's their best option that they realistically can put out there. And then, yeah, Nicky Lopez. We know about his defense and how good he was a year ago and how good he has been. But the bat, that's where you could challenge. Like, if someone that can give you decent enough defense but also could provide some pop in the order, obviously that's not going to take place. That is where I think, you know, if this team is exceeding expectations during the regular season – and then they go out, and let's say they do win 80 games this year or 75 games this year. Then next camp, I think we're talking, depending on what Nicky Lopez did with his bat this year. If Nicky Lopez was a good defender, but still he was struggling to get above 250, okay, then next season, if Bobby Witt continues to move forward,
he would really be challenging.
That's the guy. I'm overall okay with it. Let's not forget still what the grand plan here is, that 2022, 2023, that's when ideally we're sitting here this time a year from now saying, man, the Royals came off a 76-win season, 78-win season. They clearly took that next step. Mondesi was a little more consistent. You feel like you're good about your rotation. Now it's about what moves do you need to do and the pressure that's involved to take the next step after that. I think they're headed in the right direction. I'm okay with there not being a glaring competition going on here. I think it makes sense at this point in time. Like, you don't need to rush Bobby Witt Jr. I know you disagree with the age stuff, but I'm fine that Bobby Witt Jr. is not going.
I think we make too big of a deal about it. I'm not saying just throw every 17-year-old in the bigs, but.
Yeah, I'm okay with Bobby Witt not breaking camp with this team. He's not going to. We know that. So I have no issue with it.
The one thing I would say, though, about not just giving somebody a spot. Like, let's just use Michael A. Taylor as the example in this.
Yes.
Like, 2 years ago, they just gave Chris Owings a spot. Chris Owings had one half season where he was a pretty competent major league hitter. Other than that, he had struggled. He was coming off consecutive years, two, three consecutive years of not being able to hit the major league level. And they're like, that's your job. We're not going to let anybody compete with you. We told you when you came in, you were going to have the job. You have the job. I firmly believe that was the conversation with Michael A. Taylor. It was, the job is yours. We're going to give you a chance to be the starter from day one, and you have no chance to lose it. Which means even if Kyle Isbell hits 600 in spring training with a 950 on base percentage and essentially just got on base, it would still be Taylor's job. Like, to me, there's a bit, and look, you can look at this from a positive or negative end. Dayton Moore, if we sat down right now, he sat in studio, he would tell you that this is a positive way that they handle the organization. They are men of their words. If they tell Taylor he has a chance to start, we're going to give him a chance to start. The problem is, how long do you hang on to that?
Right.
For how deep into this season? And especially if they're competitive early, how long, you know, like, those are the questions I have. It's less about camp versus how long is the leash. And I like to think that versus when it was Chris Owings a few years ago and they gave him too long of a leash, that the answer is the leash is shorter if we're competitive because now we're competitive.
Yeah, that's
like
where,
you said.
That's where I was headed. I mean, I look back, you know, 2019, we know that what this team was there. It was at that point in time, you know, being able to hold on to a guy, like, in the grand scheme of things, did it ultimately impact the club's success that they would have had if Chris Owings wasn't out there? No. Right, the club was what it was. This year, yeah, it can impact the development of other guys and from the confidence in of how many wins this team gets and the momentum that you're building as an organization. So I'm with you. I think the answer is it's shorter. Now, hopefully we're talking about Michael A. Taylor playing above average and at times even better than that defense. And occasionally he's able to show
a little pop.
You know, I don't think he's going to get to that 14 or 15 home run mark we were discussing the other day just because of the ballpark, but you know, can he give you 11 home runs and occasionally in the eighth spot? Again, that's the difference. Eighth spot, you're not asking him to bat sixth, eighth.
What's funny is that, like, his offensive performance is actually more indicative of, do they need the offense more because the rest of the offense isn't playing well? Quick little breaking news brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find how far an extra mile really goes. Remember we had questioned if Mitchell Schwartz was going to have surgery?
Yeah.
Well, he had it. Mitchell Schwartz, injury update. I'm getting surgery today.
Yeah.
I was hoping to recover enough to get back for the playoffs or Super Bowl. That didn't happen. It's time to address the issue. The recovery process isn't too long, which is nice. Looking forward to a healthy 2021. So the way I'm to take this is, the reason why Mitchell Schwartz didn't have the surgery sooner, which, remember, you were predicting maybe he had a surgery and we just didn't know it was, he was hoping that his back would recover in time for the Super Bowl. It didn't. Now he's having the surgery a few weeks after the season, obviously, to address it. He is calling the timeline short. Does this change how we feel about, remember, we'd had this conversation just the other day. Is it Fisher or Schwartz? And the question we had, Gold, was, okay, I don't know anything about Mitchell Schwartz's injury. Now he's telling me he had surgery and the recovery time is, in his words, short. This, to me, would make it more inclined to keep Mitchell Schwartz around, because I know Eric Fisher's injury recovery is long. You're telling me now Mitchell Schwartz is at least saying that whatever, you know, disc issue or whatever, we do not know the extent of the back injury.
That's the only problem.
He's at least saying it's short. Weirdly enough, I feel a little bit better knowing that at least finally, back surgery is scary for an athlete, but I feel a little bit better.
Yes, yeah, so he's getting surgery today, and okay, that's fine that he was hoping it would essentially heal enough on its own so he could get back. Remember, that was week six. So what is that? Mid-October, right? Is my math right on that?
What was the back injury?
Mid-October.
It's
and
14 weeks.
November,
15 weeks.
December, January, February 7th was the Super Bowl, and he was not able to play in any of those games, as we know. Now he's having back, we assume, back surgery.
But if it's short, it at least makes sense why he waited versus just had it then in week six.
Right, but he was out for 14 weeks, which is almost 3 months, or, you know, it's past three months.
Had it then and then been ready for the Super Bowl?
That's my only question. Is like,
good question.
You know, he says the recovery process isn't too long, which is nice. Now, what's his version? We have no idea.
Is that a year or is that three months?
Is it 3 months? Is it 6 months? Is it 4 months? Is it that come August he's able to start doing light workouts? I have no idea. Nobody knows the answer to that but him and the Chiefs. We still don't know exactly what the back surgery was. I'm glad to see that he's getting surgery and he's optimistic about his ability to recover. But it's still a decision the Chiefs are going to have to make. Do they believe he will be the same type of player post back surgery? Yes, we know the recovery time for sure on Eric Fisher, essentially, with the Achilles.
They probably know a recovery time on Schwartz.
But it's still, what's the outlook after that as an athlete, as a right tackle, as a left tackle in Eric Fisher's case? I don't know if we got clarity there, other than that now we know for sure surgery was essentially was required. He's having it.
The question now will be, because, look, I'll be honest, the Chiefs have a long history of bungling injuries. They're not good at them. They have been poor. They have a bad track record. Recently, they've been a little bit better about it.
Yeah.
But overall, I think we would all agree, right? Over the last 8 years of the Chiefs franchise history, they have not handled injuries great. If it turns out that this is a two-month recovery, they screwed up. Now, I would assume... Now, look, what could have happened was, in week six, he got hurt. They needed to wait 3 weeks just to see if it'd get better. It didn't. Then surgery was on the table. Then 2 months would take him out of the season. and things go on and on and on.
Remember, it's a player and coach decision. So I won't go.
Of course it is. So, Schwartz is saying, I want to come back.
Exactly.
It's going there. I wouldn't just hammer the organization.
That's what I'm saying.
But if it turns out, if he comes out here tomorrow and it's like, hey, it's a 2-month recovery, I'd be like, damn, could you had you in the Super Bowl if you just gotten the surgery then? Now, we don't know that. But I actually take this as a positive. And I appreciate that Mitchell Schwartz was trying to play. This for all the people that he was criticizing, you don't even know how hard it was. He was essentially doing whatever he could to try to play in the Super Bowl. I'm going to deal with his back pain. I'm going to delay a surgery. I'm going to hurt because I'm trying to get back. He couldn't, but he tried to get back for this team. Now the question is, how long is he going
to
be out?
Right, because it's so hard to still, to me, decide what it actually truly means, other than now it's confirmed surgery was required to heal his back. And so that was either assumed it had already happened and it didn't, and now it's happening. And so he's saying that he's going to be back. And the only thing it answers to me is that he's not retiring. Okay. That's all that answers. Other than that, it doesn't change what kind of player he's going
to
be.
Both tackles. That's great news.
Oh, no question. I think what it answers is that he's not retiring. That was a legitimate question. If he had been out since week 6 and had surgery, still wasn't good to go, hadn't had surgery. Now we know it's requiring surgery. He's planning on it being a short, not a long-term recovery. He's clearly planning on playing football still. I think it answers the retirement question. It doesn't answer the question, though, whether or not he's in Kansas City next year.
So to get him on the phone before his surgery, try to get an update on the amount of time. Yeah, really change this conversation right if I knew exactly how many months of recovery it was.
I'll text him, seriously.
Yeah, please do.
Hey, Mitch. Before you go under the knife, do you mind? By the way, if you want an update on his contract situation, he has 1 year remaining left on his deal. He is not expensive. He's a $10 million cap hit next year. And look, if you think there's a full recovery, you could make the argument for extending Mitchell Schwartz for a year or 2 years to lower next year's cap hit and then try to find a number that makes sense for you over the next couple of years. You can save about $6 million from walking away from Schwartz, but you can save almost $13 from walking away from Eric Fisher. If you think Schwartz is right and his recovery is short and he would be expected to, as you have pointed out, fully recover, the argument then becomes it makes more sense to keep Schwartz than Fisher. But
yeah,
there's still a lot of unknown in there, admittedly.
What, it's 5 months, July?
Yeah.
August? I mean, that's plenty of time. So even if it's a 5 month or 6 month recovery, he's a veteran. He doesn't need camp
it's
in terms
of recovery.
The,
he's good by training camp.
Right.
Fisher's not going to be ready by training camp.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need the camp for knowing the offense. It's about can he get into football shape again, kind of deal. Oh, if he has even if he has month leeway before the start of the season, which puts it still at a 5.5-6 month recovery, he's still in a good spot. So yeah, I mean, in that regard,
in retrospect, he should have had the surgery in week 6 because he'd already be healed up by now,
potentially,
and back to normal, and could have been a part of mini camps and all of those things. Well, knowing what we know now, but that's revisionist history.
Yeah.
That's me knowing he wasn't ready for the Super Bowl. So obviously, he should have had the surgery then. But I don't have a problem with him trying to get back on the field for a team that had Super Bowl ambitions, is what I'm saying. That's a revisionist history. If I knew what he knew then, I might have said, hell, don't give me the surgery. I'm trying to play in the Super Bowl. That's the news out of that.
So again, Mitchell Schwartz tweeting out just a few minutes ago, he's undergoing surgery today, and he actually didn't even reference his back in the post, but we know he had put something out on Instagram a week or two ago about his back, and we also know he was on the injury report because of a back injury.
So we assume it's a back surgery.
So that's all we know at this point in time. I'm laughing because his brother, Jeff Schwartz, just quote tweeted his photo and said, wearing a mask is a good look for you. So he's just giving his brother crap there. That's why I chuckled. So all the best to Mitchell Schwartz as he undergoes surgery today, and hopefully we will get an update later today or in the next couple of days and weeks, I guess, ahead as far as what the actual injury was still to get a real timeline. And maybe we really don't get that answer until it's camp, until he comes back and he finally has a media availability. He's like, look, here's what it was. And they have Rick Burkholter trotted out there and he explains what it was. We might take one of those, Cody, for us to actually find out what really occurred.
He's been pretty careful with his letting people know exactly what's going on. Even in this case, he was the person a couple weeks ago said he was going to update people soon on his injury when someone was giving him a hard time about not tough enough. You're like, okay.
Yeah, well, that's crazy.
You ever had back? Well, yeah, and we said that then. That's insane. I'm just in retrospect, yeah, it would have been nice. He should have had the surgery in week 7. But we didn't know that. He probably didn't know that. It was probably a couple of weeks of let's see how it is. And then, hey, maybe I could get back for the Super Bowl. And then when he couldn't, he eventually had to have the surgery. It did not go away on its own, according to, James Palmer. He said, per Chiefs, he said he's having surgery, didn't go away on its own. Surgery is to...
It says fix the issue. Again, we still don't know what it... Like, no, even
he's just essentially reiterating
the
what
Instagram
said.
Post, yeah.
Well, they've been pretty good. HIPAA's done well for Mitchell Schwartz.
They've kept that one quiet.
Look,
Look,
if you don't want people knowing about your medical history, that's fine. Yeah, that's absolutely your decision.
It is. It's surprising it didn't leak out. Yeah.
Same. Surprised it's still not leaking out. I'm slowly waiting for like some doctor to eventually leak the type of surgery that Mitchell Schwartz had had. But at least he's having surgery. The issue is being fixed, and he's claiming it's not a long recovery process. So he says isn't too long.
Yeah, he says looking forward to a healthy 2021, which should answer the retirement question at least more than anything else.
Huge for Kansas City if he can return healthy, though.
Massive.
That's a huge difference between how many offensive linemen they need, how many free agent offensive linemen they need. It just, I mean, it answers so many questions along the line if he's actually capable of being healthy by August.
And if they feel confident in that, if that actually occurs, then it totally changes that dynamic of how they approach the Eric Fisher situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one, if you know you at least have an all-pro right tackle, right, then it changes how you're going to view Eric Fisher at left tackle and his recovery. And it probably means you're willing to part ways with Eric Fisher, if that's the case. There's still risk involved on both ends, but...
Of course, and not having to state the obvious, but only having to replace one offensive tackle would be nice. That seems like that would be massive news for Kansas City this offseason. Only having to replace one offensive tackle would seem like a huge upgrade from having to replace both. And like you said, if Ryder comes back, now all of a sudden, remember, we said they might have to replace all five guys. If Schwartz can come back, if they bring back Ryder, now we're talking about having to replace three spots, and one of those is probably Niang's. We're like,
an LDT.
Oh, an LDT's back. We're like, okay, all right. Maybe we're just looking for a left tackle now. Maybe things will be okay. Because before, like going into it, the outlook on the offensive line was a bit dicey. Feels a lot better now.
Yeah,
potentially. If Schwartz is giving us an accurate update on the not too long process of healing.
So potentially promising news on that front. We're about 10 minutes away from day three of our 6:10 combine. We'll get everybody in studio again and we'll find out how did we all do in the bench press. Does Carrington stay atop the leaderboard? He's in first place. He won the Wunderlich. He won the broad jump. And what, Fesco and Cody in the top three as well at this point in time. Serta and I are toward the bottom. Serta at the very bottom, but he's going to leapfrog me today, I imagine, based off of the bench press and his confidence level there.
Serta, you think he did more bench press reps than gold?
Yeah, you think?
Pretty confident.
Yeah, you should be confident. Yeah. You should be confident. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Just an update, too, on something that broke, the last half hour of our show yesterday. And now at least we know in terms of his overall immediate health scare and concern. Tiger Woods, who of course was in a car crash yesterday on the LA area, his injuries are no longer considered life-threatening, which was the most important thing.
Of course.
And more than anything else, he did go through lengthy surgery, according to multiple doctor reports and his own agent, as a matter of fact. Significant orthopedic injuries to his right lower extremity in that single car rollover crash on that roadway, and some of the photos obviously that have been out there. Basically going forward, I mean, he's got reportedly a rod in his tibia and his ankle is shattered. I mean, it's a long road of recovery. Most importantly, he's going to make it through this. Hopefully he's able to, I mean, honestly, hopefully the next question is, can he walk again at some point? And then you can move on from there. I know people like, you know, he's a golfer. I get it. So people want to talk about golf. That's not the important thing here. I would imagine though, if you want to say, all right, recognizing what's most important, he's going to survive this. That's the best news here. He hopefully can walk again. And then if you do want to talk about golf, it's hard to imagine that he's able to play again.
It's hard to see a way in which we haven't watched the last time Tiger was played, which at least was on a course with his son.
Yeah, that was a really cool moment. I mean, he's 45. He already had the updated back issue again. It was already a long road just to get back from the back surgery. Now you're talking about months and months of recovery. I just hope he can walk again and be able to have a high quality of life going forward more than anything else. But just that was terrible yesterday. But fortunately to learn it was a serious crash, but it wasn't the life-threatening situation that it appeared to be initially, because the press conference that occurred yesterday mentioned that he was alert and conscious when they arrived on the scene. So they said he actually knew where he was at. Like, considering you could think of the worst case scenarios when you look at that vehicle. It's a miracle.
And here he's in emergency surgery.
Yeah.
And look, they had to do a lot to like relieve the pressure that was coming down there, because like when you have crush syndrome, right? When your legs were crushed, you got a lot of problems. I mean, for now we can ignore the golf. There's a chance that he's never playing golf competitively.
Yeah, I would say so.
Again, but at the same, I'm just glad he's okay. More than anything, you're just like, okay, I'm glad he's okay, that he's recovering okay, that he was able to release a statement last night about, you know, the people who've, you know, who've reached out, but like more importantly, how he's doing at this stage. Because initially when you saw that report, yeah, there were fears that it could have been even worse than that.
Yeah, you think worst case scenario stuff, and you brought up the moment not too long ago where he was playing golf with his son. You think about moments like that and what his family's going through as at that time. They're not out there in L.A. with him, so they're just getting the news as a lot of people are. They're probably even seeing some of the same reports that everybody else was and thinking the worst possible scenario. So glad to hear, at least on the life-threatening front, Tiger Woods is going to be all right in that regard, and it's going to be a long road of recovery, though, going forward. With him. Coming up next, we find out how we did in the bench press portion of the 610 Combine and an update on the controversy from yesterday's broad jump.
Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kzlend.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold. We'll continue our daily player outlook for the Royals in about 12 minutes or so. Take a look at Brad Keller, just 36 days away until opening day. So I feel like in studio, it tells us how today's 610 Combine is going to go, because right now it's day three. It's the bench press. It only Kling and Fesco are in studio.
We're feeling really good.
We're the only ones that can lift any kind of weight around here.
We're feeling really good about this, apparently.
I don't know where C-Dot's at, even though he's in first place.
He's somewhere cheating.
Perhaps. We got to address that.
There's controversy now with the 610 Combine.
Rob is here. Cody's back in studio. We did have that screenshot that was tweeted out. A listener texted us, and it clearly shows Carrington Harrison has a foot past the duct tape, right? We were all told to stay behind the duct tape.
Yeah, and he cheated, and so as far as I'm concerned, he is officially disqualified from that event, finishes in last place, and is no longer in first place.
Should his other jump count?
Yeah. Yeah,
like if you had one that discounted, yeah, I'd say that one
well,
can
depends
count.
Depends on what the distance of the other one is.
If the one that's in the video, if the one that's in the video is the winning one, that's out.
Well, we don't know. I think we just take the shortest one right now and make him live with the shorter jump, and that puts him then where he is. Okay, I'm in on that.
Yeah,
I assume the other one was shorter because the one they showed on the video was the one in which he, I guess, beat us all in the category.
Allegedly, so. And it is allegedly. Like, you cheated last year, he cheated this year. We got a bunch of cheaters around here.
Mine was good. Much less egregious than this.
I don't even know if you did cheat, but your promo made me think you cheated.
Yeah, it did.
That's fair.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, the cheater has walked in.
There he is, the cheater.
Huh.
Foot fault.
You gonna address this, or are you just
what happened?
Act like it didn't happen.
Y'all trying to keep a black man down during black history? Oh, wow. oppressors. That's what I'm sitting with, a group of oppressors.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I don't have anything to say for myself.
Except that you're a cheater.
Have you watched the video?
It's been independently verified. We had professionals that watched me do the jump. They didn't say anything. Right. You're letting web sleuths.
Hey, man, if you saw that cat show on Netflix.
We have two things. We have Sean Barber, former NFL athlete.
He's a hater.
He said you fall. And let's ask. Wait, we have former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley around the studio as well.
He was witness to your jumps.
How does this work? If your foot, you've done drills like this. If your foot's over the line on a broad jump, what happens?
It's, you know, it's a scratch. Doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Yeah.
Why didn't he say that during the time?
That's not his job. He wasn't the referee of this thing.
Well, I mean, it's in the books. What can you do about it?
You can change it.
It's in the book.
No, I think it needs to be reevaluated. Yeah. Who's in charge of this thing?
Edit a video. I think this is pretty simple.
Yeah. Fake news. This is, I can't believe it.
Yeah, you're out, man. Yeah. You're done.
I can't believe it.
You're officially not in first place anymore.
So the standings, I guess as of right now, totally unofficial because we got to figure out how this is going to go.
Unofficial?
No, it is unofficial. Yeah,
they're definitely unofficial. We got to figure this out. First place right now.
Unofficial standings.
C-Dot is in first with 14 points. Cody.
Uh-huh.
I would understand this if this had come from you. But you know who's the one, this propaganda? It's been Cody.
Well, he's a cheater, too. He's a cheater.
You were supposed to team up against Cody.
You want to? I'm in on
that. And now you're on Cody's team?
Well, it was kind of egregious. I mean, you were over the line.
So the two cheaters are top
of your
list.
To find another
cheater. It is interesting.
I know who the only honest one is. It's Clint.
You were on the line, man.
Two people at the top of the unofficial standings are Carrington and Cody. What a coincidence that is. And then Bob is third with 8 points. I'm in fourth with 7, tied with Rob, but I get the tiebreaker, I guess, because I'm older, which is the first time
you're
in my
older by like 10 minutes. Why? That's a stupid tiebreaker, just for the record. We're the same age.
The first time in my life that I've ever had a tiebreaker because I'm older, which is really bizarre. That's not a good sign going forward, I guess.
It isn't.
And then
no,
Kling is 6th with 5, and Serta's in 7th with 4. So, Carter, you've got the results. The bench press.
He witnessed us all do this.
Yeah. How did we do?
I don't think he wants to admit that he watched this.
Well, I'll tell you what, C-Dot didn't help himself out on the bench press. He got zero. Oh,
zero.
I mean, why you guys acting shocked? Like, I told you Monday at 10:31 I got a zero.
Still shocking.
Carter, was he close? Did he almost get the bar up?
Yeah, you know, he got about halfway, and, you know, thank God we had a spot there because that thing was not going up.
No, it was not going anywhere. I could have told you.
You got a zero.
Hold on. The thing is, I knew zero. I had a zero. Did anybody else get the zero?
Now, that's what I'm interested
in. Life's about knowing your strengths
Alex
and weaknesses.
Alex is
not
clearly.
That's one of my strengths.
Obviously. All right, who else got the zeros, Carter?
Well, that was it for zero.
Oh, wow.
Next up, we had Rob with 1.
All right.
Got it up, baby.
What?
Woohoo! Oh, got one up.
We only got one.
Tied with Rob, we had Alex with 1, and I'm seeing last year he had 0.5. I'm not sure what that's
I didn't get a 0.5. I couldn't get the point. I couldn't get the half point.
I didn't even get a 0.5 last year. Now that's revisionist history. I had 0 last year. I want my half point from last year on the record.
I still think Rob is the most embarrassing one at all of this. I really had high expectations.
Yeah, not in this category. No. You guys have that dad strength. I got no strength.
Carter, you can see him from the window. Doesn't he at least look like he should be able to do something athletically?
I'll tell you what, though. Long arms, though, on the bench press, that can hurt you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Long arms hurt you on the bench press.
That's what I always say. The long arms, that's been my problem on the bench press all along. The long arms.
This is
definitely
the first we're hearing this from any of these three, by the way.
We have a professional.
He gave him the out, Cody, and they took it, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, long arm. That's my issue here.
You guys are all compact built. It's an advantage. I've been saying it for years.
I got short legs. That's why the broad jump wasn't longer for me.
I knew it wasn't the weight. I knew it was the long arms. I knew it the entire time.
What do long legs do for the broad jump, just out of curiosity, for previous standings purposes? Is that a strength or a weakness?
It should be better, I think.
I'm not seeing anything broad jump here.
No. Just in general. Like, if you're doing a broad jump, is it better to have long legs or short legs?
I'd say long legs.
There you go. Yeah.
Some people disagree. I mean, that's just, that one's debatable.
Some people disagree.
All right, Carter, how else do we do?
Then we got Josh, big improvement from last year. Got 9 this year. Last year he got 3.
Wow. Yes. All right. The come up.
I have bench press.
That cheap strength. You've been hanging around Dana.
I've bench pressed 3 times in the last 3 years, and it was for the combine. So
good job.
Yeah, but saving it up.
They lowered the weight down there. I'm not trying to be funny. But
oh, they did?
No, they did. Yeah.
Don't ruin this for me.
I was asking.
That's kind of crummy.
I wasn't trying to hate on it. I mean, 9's impressive. Yeah. I did 0. I'm not hating on anybody's. I just wanted to know.
And then Cody came in second with 11.
11? Where's Bob, though?
First, obviously.
The there's a tie. That means a tie's coming. That means a tie's coming between two people. Okay.
That's Bob what it is. Steven tied for first.
Wow.
Hey. What's up? How many?
Both with 13. Whoa. Last year, both had 7.
Whoa. Yo, can I really quick before we move forward? I got to shout out Binkley here. Binkley was like, this is like having a race, but not having Usain Bolt. And I was like, Binkley, everybody acknowledges that you're the strongest person here. Binkley, you would have won this competition. I want you to know.
Yeah, but Binkley also cheated on the bench press. Like, he didn't even go up all the way. He went like little tiny reps. It didn't count.
That's what I was doing. Little tiny reps.
One tiny rep.
No, I did like half of one tiny rep.
All right.
What's the standings then?
Well, they're all unofficial.
Here we go.
The unofficial standings.
Here we go.
I mean, don't we need to do some math?
That means Rob's in last place.
I mean, that's not surprising.
Yes, it is.
That's stunning.
Yeah, that's stunning.
Josh and I should be in last place in this thing. We're old.
For sure.
I have no idea what the standings actually are, so if somebody's got a list.
We don't actually. We don't have that. They're actually under further review. Completely under further review. Now everything has to be verified.
I'm in first
this
place.
This is how I know that the show is losing because now they're not even keeping score. The one show here that was really been keeping copious notes for this thing has been the midday. Now it's like, I mean, I don't know the scoring system.
Nobody knows. It's like quarterback rating. You can't figure it out.
That lonely pandemic strength.
All right, Bob, you had 8 yesterday. You finished first because of the age, right?
Oh, that's right.
You guys finished tied for first, so you get the 7
points.
Actually,
Carrington got first in the Wonder League. Let him do the math for us live on the air. He's the smartest one in here.
No, so Bob had 15. Carrington, you got 1 point. You and Bob are tied with 15 points.
All right, that's fine. Now it comes down to the 40 in the vertical. Yeah.
I would have gotten
that down the stretch.
I would have gotten 5 points, right? Because 7-6, yeah,
we don't care about the rest, Cody.
I'm in first place with 16 points right now.
You're in first now?
Let it be known I'm in first place.
After 3 days.
I am in first place after 3 days. Let that be known.
This is not how it needs to go.
No, it really doesn't.
I'm calling the compliance office. I'm making sure.
Cert is up to 10 points. Let's see. Rob, how many points did you get for this? One?
One, yeah.
One,
seventh gets 0, right?
No, we get 1.
I got 2 because I finished 6th.
You get the courtesy
point. I finished beat Carrington on this.
Nah, but you tied with Gold, who's younger than you.
I can't. The old thing is paying off.
He's older than you. Sorry, man. Look, these are the rules. Not to tell you.
Cody made this rule up. I'm 100% convinced.
Rob is in last place. Gold is in second to last.
I've never heard this from Spec. This came
up last year. And he said it was a rule from 2 years
ago.
That's
why you probably won.
No, it came up last year when Kling actually got he got another point on me in the broad jump both years. We jumped the same terrible distance.
I got the age bump.
Who's bragging about that?
Cody's like a Mike Tolbert. It's like a bowling ball, sneaky athletic.
Mike Tolbert?
That's offensive.
No, it's not. That was actually really funny. Mike Tolbert. He said you got a Natron Means build.
Gold yesterday in the break, we were talking about it for 2 seconds in the combine. He's like, you know, how are you always near the top of the standings of this? It doesn't make any sense.
Cheating?
Yeah.
Because he's average at everything.
Yes, that's exactly it.
I'm just not terrible at anything.
Yeah,
if you're not terrible at something like Josh and I are at the Wonderlic, you can win this thing.
Carter, just out of curiosity, since we've got former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley in studio to give us the updates, what is your broad jump?
I think my broad jump was right around 9.6.
Okay. It's only 3 feet better than me, bro.
3 feet. Just barely over the mark. And would you, I assume if you had to bench 125 pounds, it's just an unlimited number, right? Like, you don't get tired, you just get bored of doing it. Is that how it works at 125 pounds for normal people?
Man, I don't know. I'm not big on the bench, but I like my chances out of this leaderboard.
He's got long arms. He can't do it. Long arms.
Yeah, he said he's not big on it because he knows that's not an indication of anything. I know. He knows. He just said it. He confirmed it.
So only the things you win at are an indication. Because I think the bench is a huge indicator of things.
Mental capacity. I'm dominating those. Strength.
No. You got to be mentally tough to get that bar up 13 times like Cert and I.
The fact that Serta is 13 times stronger than me is the most humbling thing that's maybe ever happened to me.
It's actually 130,000 times stronger. I took the Weatherlook and finished second to last.
I think we all figured out, though. Like, we learned, Bob, from the, like, Carrington got up all 50 questions. We've all learned our lesson.
Yeah, we have learned a lesson.
Like, the physically thing, we can't change anything there. Like, we can't change anything we can do physically.
Sure you can. You can get better.
Nah, I don't
think
so.
You can get stronger. You can get faster.
Like, I'm pretty much where I'm at.
The time's over for me. I stopped at 17. I stopped getting faster, stronger. I peaked.
Yeah, but maybe you can get stronger for when you started taking this thing.
See, I'm in my peak right now.
It got really quiet there.
He got Bowflex.
Sometimes when Fesco says something, you just got to let it marinate for a minute. You just got to let it just sit there, and then somebody else will pick it up. I'm actually allergic to lifting weights. I break out in hives. This was hazardous to my personal health competing in that event.
Tomorrow, by the way, is the vertical, and then Friday is the 40-yard dash. So we'll see. We'll get maybe some clarification on the rules and everything, and also if Cody cheated in the vertical for two straight
years. This is under protest. All the results are under protest.
I just want to see the video of Cody falling. At this point, that's all I need in my life. That's what I want. I want to see him fall.
That's what it's like to be in last place.
I think
I don't think I'm in last. I don't think your math is correct.
I just got the score update from Justin, who edited the video. You're in last.
That's that stupid age thing again.
You're tied for 9 points. Kling is older than you.
Yeah, but Kling's also approaching 50. This dude's like out of college.
Rob's barely 30. He's not even 30 yet.
Yeah, that's sad.
I just turned 30.
Okay, he's 30.
I do have to ask on air, though, Carter, when you fall during the 40-yard dash, I can ask this because I fell at the end of it last year, so my time was already done. Cody fell midway through the 40.
Midway through?
And then he continued to sprint the rest of the way. Have you ever seen that before?
Man, that's hard. That's hard over anything. See? I tell you what, it's not going to look good with the number for obvious reasons, but you know, the people that are there, they see the heart, and that's what matters.
And I think they should count. I think the one where he fell should count as his time.
That's right. Exactly.
What? Why? Yeah. Oh, so you get 3 extra inches on a broad jump you cheated on, but I got to take the slower 40?
You cheated last year, man. Payback.
Why don't we just redo both then? I'll redo the broad jump, and then you redo the 40.
Feels like we need a combine commissioner.
Definitely. Cody is the commissioner and he competes.
Self-appointed.
Why?
That doesn't make any sense. How did he do this?
Well, Speck, I think, is technically our commissioner, but his ruling on this is like, it's fine.
Speck's wearing hard shoes today. He's got a meeting or something, so he's not part of this.
Oh, wow.
He's dressed up.
I think if you guys get to do yours over, Josh and I get to do the Wonderlick over.
I mean, we're just redoing this. Can I do the broad jump again? I mean, I don't understand what's happening.
I redid the Wonderlick on air the other day and got a worse score, so I don't know if that's the best route to go.
No, if you get worse, it doesn't count.
I will answer more questions.
So there you go. Yeah, everybody's going to be back in studio tomorrow at 10:30.
Everybody
we'll find
gets
out,
one event
so.
They get to do over again.
Correct.
And we'll recount the scores.
Bench press for me.
You're trying to get that one rep?
I'll get two.
I'll take my one and I'm good to go. That's all I need. I don't care where I finish. Just got
all
my,
we know
my
is
one
that there's only
press.
Three people who can win this thing. Me, you, and Bob.
That's true, unfortunately, at this point. Probably.
Maybe I'm just one from each show.
I'm
that's
just happy
good.
That gold has no chance of winning.
I could have told you that
Why?
Last week. I could have told you
Alex
that last
is
week.
Nice.
I don't like Alex.
He's not going to rub it in. Like
what is this? What
I
is this?
Like, I think if you or Cody win, we got a year of listening to this nonsense. You better
oh,
just
sure
crown me
be,
winner.
You'll be so humble. So humble. You'll just take this victory and quietly
I got to be honest with you, Cody. By June, I'll forget I won.
That's why you did bad on the Wonderlick.
There it is.
Exactly.
It's a memory-based game.
Thanks to our friends at All In Sports helping us out during the combine, getting it all set up. And tomorrow at 10:30, we'll find out how we did in the vertical. Carter Stanley's still hanging around just for another minute or so. But
I got to ask him at least while these guys leave, we at least got to get a heads up on how we thought the rest of it went, right? Like, don't we want to, like, you don't have to tell us who won because I don't think you saw the final scores. But how hard was it to watch the rest of us run a 40? At least just what? From me, like, who runs the most awkward? Does one person stand out as being like, that person runs the funniest? Because I thought it was gold last year. He's very upright.
Don't put that in his mind.
I wouldn't single out one person for that. The form on all of you could have been worked on for sure. And, you know, that could get worked on at AIS, you know, AIS gym. They could help you out there. But, no, man, I don't know. I saw the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it was all of it.
Let's just say I stayed in the exact same shape I'm in now, but all I did was work on better technique for the 40, the broad jump, and the vertical. Could All In Sports help me just do that? Like, if I'm in the same amount of athletic shape, but I just practiced those events, could I improve them enough? Because I only lost the broad jump by like 3 inches.
That's a lot, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Technique, you can add 3 inches on. You know, it starts with not foot folding.
See? Carter gets it.
But no, you could definitely add 3 inches by technique.
I like that. We'll just make him the new.
He should be.
The new commissioner of it, right?
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it going forward.
That only seems fair.
Count me in.
Because at least, Carter, you would like a foot fault's got to be, like, it's you just get the other score.
Yeah.
Like, if I had foot faulted on the...
That's a scratch.
Yeah, if I had foot faulted on my first 40 and then fell in the second one, I got to take the fall. Like, that's my time.
Right. That's how it goes.
Oh, man. This is embarrassing.
So what have you been up to overall? Obviously, it's been since 2019. Obviously, you played quarterback at Kansas. What's up with you? Did you play in the spring? You played some spring football last year, right?
Yeah, so, you know, this time last year I was training for the pro day at KU. And, you know, I was actually fortunate enough to have that because a lot of guys in my scenario, you know, it's right around when COVID, you know, first started. So not a lot of guys got that opportunity, but, you know, I was able to do that. You know, the draft came around and, you know, unfortunately, just because of COVID, a lot of numbers were cut down. No rookie mini camp, you know, for guys like me that were undrafted where they get to, you know, display their talent in front of these teams. You know, so that was unfortunate. But, no, just this past year I've been training here in Kansas City. You know, doing some things on the side, helping out with like youth camps and stuff like that. But yeah, this fall I was fortunate enough to go down to San Antonio and play in the spring league. And, you know, it was going pretty well. You know, things were going pretty well until, you know, none other than COVID strikes again. And my team, I think there was like 40 guys on each team and my team had like 8 COVID cases. So about halfway through the season, we, you know, we were like quarantining in the hotel for, and that's the thing, the whole time we're staying in the West End down in San Antonio, which is pretty cool. It was a cool area, but no, I mean, we had a bunch of guys get COVID, so my team got kicked out of the league, which was a bummer.
What's next? Where are you heading to next? At least other than like, you know, hopefully not having to watch inferior athletes perform it in possibly low levels by this standard.
Yeah, we'll see. So I'm actually, I'm going to compete in KU's Pro Day again here in 2 weeks and see where I go from there. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have a CFL offer on the table with the BC Lions.
Nice.
So, you know, obviously the goal is NFL, but, you know, CFL, you know, plan B would be pretty cool. So, you know, just going to have to decide here in about 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, we'll see.
Well, best of luck with your training. Obviously, it's probably going better than ours. We saw you at least working out a little bit at the same time as us. But any kind of professional football opportunity, I'm sure you're more than welcoming at this stage.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Carter Stanley, kind enough to join us in studio today. Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
All right, so we saw this right before the show, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore about what'll be on TikTok. Anything's on TikTok, but there's now people legitimately down in Texas that believe all the snow that Texas got is actually fake.
What?
They don't believe, like, the snow and the weather that caused all the power stuff, they think it's fake. There's a couple, not just one or two, I believe there's about 30 different TikTok videos, and now it's gotten some headlines where TikTokers are spreading conspiracy theories claiming that the historic snowfall in Texas was planted by the government.
Just out of curiosity, what is their basis for thinking it's fake?
Well, they believe it was planted by the government to potentially shed light on power issues in the state. As the state recovers, users on the video sharing platform have meanwhile been seen putting snowballs to the test. So there's a video, they are using a hairdryer to try to melt the snowball, and it doesn't melt, at least on the video, and so they're saying it's fake, which is really bizarre. I don't know why the snowball doesn't melt. I'll be honest, I have no idea why the snowball is not melting under the hairdryer. But what do they think it is? Like you said, this is what they think. They brought Snow Creek's machines into their backyards all across Texas.
Machine to rain snow from the sky?
Come on.
Is Snow Creek real snow?
No.
So it doesn't melt then, right?
Or does it? No, it still melts. Look, I'm not saying, like, it's probably just like a heat transitive property. Like, the source of the heat has to go somewhere before it goes there. So it probably chars the outside of the snow rather than actually melt it. And it would probably still just melt in your hand.
They claim the snow isn't wet. Oh, people in these.
It's probably...
Some snows are drier.
I bet the people that are doing this with hair dryers have that cool setting. I bet they're kicking on the cool setting.
Just to be cool TikTokers?
Before they do it. Yeah, just to... be conspiracy theorists and go viral on TikTok.
Idiots down in Texas that think the snow and everything that just occurred last week was all fake. Come on.
Just out of curiosity, what's the point of that conspiracy?
I have no idea. That the government's taking over? I have no idea, Cody.
Government control? Is that what it is? Oh, interesting. It's always about
crazy conspiracy theories. I thought this was an Onion article this morning from the Onion, but no, it's
we went over conspiracy theories yesterday. I already told you the ones that I believe in.
Yeah, Serta thinks, what was it, Stevie Wonder?
Can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I said Avril Lavigne's been replaced and that Albert Pujols is actually older than people actually say he is.
That one actually might be the realest of all.
That one has at least a couple of years. Maybe I'm exaggerating by 7, but he's at least a couple years older than he originally said. He'll never admit it, which I more than fully respect. But the idea that snow is fake is going very deep down the road. Where do they hide the machine that produces the snow? That's what I don't understand. Is it dropped from a plane? What is the end of this conspiracy?
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on, Cody. Yeah.
It's a lot of fake snow, man. That's a lot.
As the text line points out, there's a generation of kids who ate Tide Pods, so nothing should surprise us at all that there's people that actually believe. Someone said they think it's NASA and their weather-controlling device in space.
Okay. Oh, boy.
That's the trash of the day. Coming up next, we have the 11 o'clock hour. Should the Royals be willing to move one of these young arms if it means, well, you're getting a bat in return? We'll tell you next.
Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip funding guys at kclend.com.